Welcome to the 114th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name's Quizmaster Lee. As usual, I'm joined by Quizmaster Mark Davis.
Hello.
And we're once again joined by Kyle Ian.
Hello, friends.
Hello. Friend. My friend. Wow. I just got friend zoned by my wife.
I was talking to the listeners. Buddy. Hello, friends.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I'll be your friend now. We can be friends as well.
And Mark Davis is my friend. And you were also my friend, hello. My darling.
Yes. Yeah. Three friends.
More importantly, you're my wonderful, wonderful husband. But
I think I'm feeling an idea for a TV show coming on.
Yeah.
Called Friends.
Oh, wow. This
where it's just a bunch of people that hang out, know each other. This sounds like a good idea.
Sounds friends like a hit.
For a sitcom. Groundbreaking.
Could be the hit of a decade, I would say, even. It's there got potential. Go. I don't know.
Feel good about this.
You'll have to tell me more about it, but it just sounds like a hit.
Off mic. I don't want anybody stealing my ideas, but.
Oh, yes. This is strike this,
right,
please.
Right.
I'm feeling like maybe Jennifer Aniston should be involved. That's all I'll say.
That's a good idea. You know, Mark, people like your ideas. They like our ideas. I just want to thank all of the listeners that have gone on and given us 5 stars only on their respective Please. Review platforms. Proverbial Lightkeeper Alex, thank you. Recently went on Apple Podcasts and reviewed us, saying, not only extremely entertaining, but you also learn some pretty interesting stuff. Even if you don't like trivia, this podcast is worth a shot because it'll make you love trivia.
Ooh. Oh, I like that neck thing you did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It'll make you love trivia.
Yeah, I guess the neck thing was like if he like capitalized each other character. There is some capitalization here, but I hope I interpreted that right. And then we also have another review here.
Is the capitalization in love?
Yes.
It'll make I would you say it's like
love trivia.
I would think it would sound like this. It'll make you love trivia.
Lots of syllables in there.
You know what I mean? Like the love is like love
right.
trivia.
I don't know. Does that technically add syllables or is that just more of like a melodic thing?
I don't know.
Not
sure
about
what it is.
The technicality on that.
Whatever it is, I like it.
You love it.
I like it.
We got another review here from our new team captain, Lydia. Thank you, Lydia, for your support as well as for this review. Lydia writes, long overdue for my quarantine heroes. I stumbled across y'all on a search for great trivia podcasts, and I'm happy to report you did not disappoint. I loved listening to your back catalog and was so happy to find that you've continued the podcast even through quarantine.
Yeah.
Hashtag masks up. I'm an infectious disease pharmacist, so I spend a whole lot of time working with COVID patients. It's so nice to be able to take a break to do trivia with you guys. I love the atmosphere, even if I can't win anything. I'm planning to do my first Twitch trivia with Lee tomorrow. That's on Thursdays, everyone.
Awesome.
And I'm also endlessly grateful to be employed while I know so many others who are not. God damn, my
Lee's
eyes
getting
watery.
Shit. Lee's getting a little choked up right now.
Smoke gets in your eyes. You know what I'm saying? I'm also so endlessly grateful. I'm also endlessly grateful to be employed while I know so many others who are not. So I'm happy to be able to support you and
just
others.
Get something in my eye.
I thank you both so much for being a source of light and amusement in what seems to be a never-ending bummer. Thank you, Lydia.
Wow, thank that's you. Awesome. Thanks, Lydia.
Lydia Lunch, and the glasses are off. Lee's
good
just
Lord.
Really just
it just
can't
means a lot.
It.
And then we also heard from Jeopardy Man, who writes, "Interesting, tough stuff." But informative and entertaining. Too many F-bombs. So
5 stars?
5 stars. Despite the F-bombs.
I would expect someone who loves Jeopardy a lot to, to think that there are too many F-bombs. And I apologize. We are a little bit blue. And, you know, these things happen.
Very
early on, I think I was like the original, like, can we cut, like, are we going to be able to cuss? But I think that might have been one of the first things we talked about. Like, we need to be able to.
Mark, I knew there was no holding you back.
It's one of the only reasons.
We just got to lean into it.
It's one of the main reasons that I do trivia mostly only at Nice Guys, because I like having the, the openness to say or do whatever the fuck I want.
Right. And we try to have a pub style trivia atmosphere here on the podcast as well. Not necessarily restaurant style. We are not opposed to that, but it's got a late night vibe. But thank you for listening, Jeopardy Man, and thank you for your 5-star review. And we look forward to entertaining you with some more questions. Mark, we have an interesting episode here. Are you bringing questions from your Wednesday night trivia at Nice Guys?
I am. It just real quick.
Yes.
Chances that Jeopardy Man is Alex Trebek?
I believe that would be Alex Trebek, yeah. But I'm not certain. It's not verified.
It would make sense that he would say there's too many F-bombs.
Yeah, and so his name is Jeopardy Man. Who do you think of when you hear Jeopardy Man?
So you're thinking it's actually Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, either him or maybe Ken Jennings or one of them.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think Ken Jennings would take Jeopardy Man? I think he would leave that for Alex. He seems like a nice guy.
He probably would, but, you know.
Man, he's hilarious. His Twitter. Ken Jennings.
Your eyes are
just going, I know, man.
Nuts.
It's all the emotion. Reading Lydia's much. Review. 5-star. When we ask you for a 5-star review, people, this is why. It means something, okay?
This is why now Lee's going to go off like fucking Alex Jones watch.
We'll have a 5-star review.
We need positive reviews or else the gay snakes are going to get in your socks.
Now buy our
toe.
Buy our trivia powder. You put the powder in your drink, you get better at trivia.
All right. Where were we?
I was going to ask you about the categories that you brought for today's episode.
It's going to be, I'm just going to kind of pick through, I think, a little bit. We got some sports, car racing in particular, explorers. We'll do books because we got all-time susser in the house. Modern music, maybe.
Hey.
Yeah. We'll see what else we go with there.
Right on. Well, I decided to give the power to the people here, our Patreon supporters. I put up a last-second poll and asked people to vote on what questions I would ask you today, Mark. Kyle will be assisting you as a susser. And what we got back was a few different categories. There is a clear winner. People definitely want to hear a classic movies question. So we'll be talking about that. Debut singles, Dungeons and Dragons. That was another popular category that people wanted. In round two, we'll have a philosophy question, board games. And then there was a tie. I'm going to give you a choice of three different categories. We'll get to that later. But for the last question round two, you'll have your choice because there was a tie. And then my final question for you will be about drugs.
Oh, man. Drugs.
Yes. People thirsty, hungry for a drugs question. And at least our Patreon supporters. I don't know what that says about them, but we will be asking a drugs question in the final round.
Means here. The people that can afford to do our Patreon are also
they're well equipped.
Yes, indeed.
Mark, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up real quick before we get to our quiz?
That sounds good to me.
How did your teams do on Wednesday night at Nice Guys Pizza?
So Wednesday
at Nice Guys Pizza.
Yes, Wednesday we had our first in-house live trivia since Nice Guys shut down a while ago. It's been a few months. I had a couple of teams show up that used to show up all the time, including Seth and Zach Carter and his girlfriend Taylor. They showed up, the winners of the 5-year anniversary trivia. They both showed up as well as like a couple of other teams that were just kind of on site and decided to play. And I'll tell you, between Zoom and people on site, I think we had around 15 teams, somewhere around there, give or take, maybe a couple less.
What would you say? That's about double the teams as usual lately?
Yeah, it's pretty much like the same amount played on site as played in Zoom. And we had a pretty good amount of teams in Zoom. The first round live went to Seth. We have entered Seth Tember with 18 points, winning by 1 point.
Great name.
Yes, absolutely. And then as far as Zoom was concerned, we had a tie between L Dags and Whiskey Tango. Whiskey Tango is the team that knows Kenya. Eldegs, I don't know if they're affiliated at all.
Yes. Oh. Eldegs is our new team captain, Lydia.
Oh, okay, fantastic. So, yeah, so she played.
She hit up both of our trivias this week.
Yeah, and she did killer. She did a great job in the first round. Second round went to Zach's team. MD is Q. Mark Davis is Q. With 34 points. I just, so we're clear, I am not. As far
that's
as
what Q would say.
As far as offsite is concerned, 43 points. Whiskey Tango won overall with 43 points.
2 weeks in a row, right?
Oh. Yes. Well, they just won the second round.
Oh, okay.
The third round went to Mark Davis is Q with 46 points. However, offsite, I believe Eldegs won. Yeah, with 60 points. Did very, very well. The last round got every question except for the last one and one other question, but only wagered one on the last question. So knew how to wager and killed it. 60 points. Yeah. So
nice.
Fantastic job, Lydia. Great job.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Indeed.
Good for you.
But yeah, I'll tell you. Oh, Lord
of
mercy. Lee, the blood pumping through my veins. The people going, what'd you say? Can you repeat yourself? People mumbling answers too loud.
Oh my gosh, don't make
people
me jealous.
On
Jesus.
Their phones.
People coming up and telling me their pens don't work. People coming up saying they spilled beer on their answer sheet. People coming up saying they want to join.
Saying they
want to
change their team
round.
Name.
Oh, it was all there, baby. It was just, it really, you know, it made me misty-eyed. It made me, how you were a little bit earlier, I had the glasses off. I was just really feeling it.
Nice. Well, I hope to join you there again someday, my friend.
Oh, I also have to mention David Holbrook played.
Wonderful.
Finally. I've been begging him to play my trivia. And he finally did it. And then I didn't read his points in the first round.
Oh, no.
And I felt so bad. But then I told everyone I screwed up. Tell me about yours. How was Thursday?
Well, we had quiz number 69.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. The winner of that was, of course, H-Bomb and Friends with his 10th victory. It was 79,754 points. H-Bomb was thwarted for a doubleheader by Mariah, who won with 130,809 points, a decisive victory. I believe about 50,000 points ahead of her nearest competition there. So congratulations to her on her second victory
Mariah.
There. And then
damn.
We had a 90s one-hit wonders audio round again. It was our second 90s one-hit wonders audio round in the last couple months. And that was H-Bomb's 15th victory if you include audio rounds. So congratulations to him. So it went very well. Man. H-Bomb almost took the whole night, but again, was not able to stop Mariah 710 for quiz number 70.
Jeez.
Whoop, whoop.
Killing it.
Yeah, we almost had two doubleheaders in a row because proverbial lightkeeper Matt last week had a doubleheader, and H-Bomb was on track for that, but just couldn't pull it together.
I should mention, he joined my trivia late. And in the second round, he had 29 points. The winning team had 43. He
wow.
outscored most of the teams that had been there since the first round. But he had a pretty rough third round. But, man, when I think it's him and his wife, when they hit. Like, they're a smart couple of kids. If they got on a team with some other people, oof.
A force to be reckoned with.
Oof.
Remember, you can play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark Davis in person at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom. That's on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. If you want to play on Zoom, you can just find the link to that in the description of this episode or the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page. And if you want to play No-Nonsense Trivia, you can do so this week by visiting twitch.tv/No-Nonsense Trivia, where we are streaming live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. We have almost 200 followers on Twitch, so if you haven't followed us over there, please go over there and give us a follow, and it will send you reminders of when we go live. It's going to be a good time. Make sure you follow us on social media to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
Wow. We might have actually pulled something together there, guys.
Yeah, it sometimes I think we hit the note so perfect that it just cuts out my headphones, so that's good. But, you know, it's always wonderful to see how it winds up on Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. I was all over the place. I tried to find a ground there at the end. You guys are like pros, though, you know. You guys harmonize a lot.
Yes.
I'm out here, like, trying it out. let me try it out. Let me try to get this harmony, see what happens. All right, let's take a little break, and then we'll come back with some trivia questions in round one. Classic movies is the first question that was requested. This would be Matthew, Kenya, Steven, Spencer, David Holbrook, Marissa, Kevin and Sarah, and Mark, you even voted deciding or having a role in the deciding of your own fate here. You wanted a classic movies question.
I don't know why.
It just felt right.
I think out of the choices I had, like, opera was going to be a crash and burn. There were a couple that was just like, no way.
Yeah, nobody wanted opera. It's weird.
Yeah, what a shock.
I'm going to keep that in mind just for future podcasts anyway. All right.
Please do.
If you do like opera, just write in and let us know. I guess we'll throw one in like by request.
Cool.
Classic movies, though.
Cool.
Okay, yeah.
Sam Spade is the lead character in what 1930 novel that became a successful 1941 film starring Humphrey Bogart and Mary Astor?
Okay. Say it again, please.
Sure.
Say it again, Lee.
Sam Spade is the lead character in what 1930 novel that became a successful 1941 film starring Humphrey Bogart and Mary Astor?
1940 is the film.
41
is the film. 30 novel.
What are you thinking there, Kyle?
It's not To Have and Have Not. To Have and Have Not had a Lauren Bacall in it. 1930 novels. It's probably a film noir type mystery movie. Mm-hmm. It was really popular, those types of novels and films. I'm thinking also like The Maltese Falcon, but I don't think that's I don't think that's Humphrey Bogart. I think that's somebody else that like 1941 movie, 1930 book. Maybe it's what's Mildred Pierce? Mildred Pierce? Oh my god, I think it might be Mildred Pierce. Do you have any thoughts at all?
I do.
Okay, let's hear him.
Casablanca.
No, it's not. Mary Astor was not in Casablanca.
How sure are you?
Yeah.
Play it again, Sam.
Yeah, that.
Sam Spade, Humphrey Bogart.
No, he played Rick. Rick was his name. Yeah, no.
Oh, the piano player's name is Sam.
Oh.
Hmm.
Play it, Sam. Mary Astor. I don't think Mary Astor was in it.
Maybe it is the Maltese Falcon.
I don't remember. Dang it.
Did you just say Sam Spade, or was there anything along with his name, like detective or anything?
Just the character's just name. Sam Spade is the lead character.
Sam mm-hmm. is not the lead character in Casablanca. And I don't think Mary Astor's in that movie.
Yeah, no, I kept thinking Sam. Ingrid Bergman. Again, Sam.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But Sam wasn't his character's name. You're right.
Whereas I feel like maybe Mary Astor was Mildred Pierce back in the day, which was a book. I don't remember if Humphrey Bogart was in that movie, though. I feel like it was like an obscure movie. It wasn't like a big hit, which, I mean, like all of Humphrey Bogart's movies were like huge. I don't remember if he was in The Maltese Falcon, though. I might be confusing my movies, my film noirs.
Mm. Black film. Night film.
Classic movies. 1941 film.
Noir. What does noir mean? Black?
Mm.
Black and white. And it's film noir is characterized by lots of... It's like very mysterious. There's usually like a femme fatale character. There's like a lot of like excessive use of like sharp like shadows. And like it's like... And it's like typically... No. And it's typically
touched for the very first time.
I think that's like the opposite vibe of noir. It's like pop.
Like a virgin.
Papa,
it's like,
don't preach.
Papa, don't preach.
I demand I'm in Madonna trouble questions. Deep. Mildred Pierce sounds good.
Let's just do Mildred Pierce because we're gonna do
Mildred Pierce.
I'm so sorry, guys. That's incorrect.
What is the correct answer?
The Maltese Falcon.
Motherfucker! Fuck.
Also starring Peter Lorre, Sidney Greenstreet, and Gladys George.
God fucking damn it!
Based on a serialized story by Dashiell Hammett.
Yes! I feel so fucking stupid. I should have known that. I worked in a bookstore for so fucking long.
Warner Brothers had already adapted it twice in the 1930s. And it was selected for preservation in the Library of Congress the first year available, which was 1985. They took in 25 films, and it was in that group, The Maltese Falcon.
I'm really fucking mad at myself. I should have known that.
It happens.
I think maybe if I'm going to be the sussing partner, I need to not have a bunch of tiki drinks and or beers.
It's fine.
No one's getting in trouble for being wrong here. Here's your first question.
I'm sorry, continue.
Music. Classic rock and roll.
Oh, yeah! Oh, wait. Maybe okay. that's hair metal, I guess. What? Yeah. That's not classic rock.
Hey, I guess it could be maybe some hair metal. Some, like, proto hair metal.
I think Pearl Jam is considered classic rock these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's frightening. We're getting there. What Beatles song?
Come on.
Is referenced by backing singers at the end of Young Americans by David Bowie.
You know this. You know this, babe. You were just listening to this, weren't you? Oh, no, not Young Americans. We were listening to I Am Afraid of
Americans. I am afraid of Americans. Trent Reznor and David Bowie collaborating.
Nice.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
What Beatles song apparently, is referenced at the end of Young Americans?
Young Americans
by
How
David
does that
Bowie.
Go?
I can't even.
All the young dudes.
That's Matt the Hoople.
Song. Huh?
Matt the Hoople. I said Matt the Hoople, and I meant to say Matt the Hoople. They wrote that song for David Bowie. It's not actually David Bowie's song.
Oh, okay. Well, it's got Young in the title, and it's Bowie, so that's where my brain went. Young Americans. How does that go?
He's not going to do that.
I'm asking you.
I don't know. I don't know.
I was like, I don't think he's
asking. I'm asking
asking
my partner.
Me.
What song did Young it? Americans. You didn't give a year, did you?
I did not.
Did not.
He had a long career. I don't think it's on Diamond Dogs.
I have no help here.
Ziggy Stardust.
I'm ashamed to say I haven't delved that deep into David Bowie's catalog, even though I have heard that like he's one of those artists that you really do need to dive deep on because like it's all good. Like the hits are like the hits, obviously, and they're catchy and stuff. But he's like, you know, like killer. And I yeah, unfortunately have not dug as deep as I probably should.
After I asked the last Bowie question that I asked you, Mark, on the podcast here, I went back and listened to Aladdin Sane, because Elise posted in the group that there was a miscorrection, you know, during the sus. We talked about that being Ziggy Stardust, but the cover is actually for Aladdin Sane.
Yes, yes.
And that album, it was great. And I'm wondering if Young Americans is on that. But I only listened to it once. What? Okay.
I have this weird... Okay. First of all, do you know anything about David Bowie and the Beatles, like, relationship at all? Was it a rivalry?
It wasn't a rivalry. I don't think they... I don't know that there was ever any real collaboration. I know that Bowie liked the Beatles.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He admired them. And he even early in his career had a mop top haircut inspired by their style. And that didn't last too long, though. Mm. But there is a picture of him with a Beatles-esque haircut. And I think he's spoken favorably of them. But, you know, they didn't last very long as a group, and he came kind of after them. So what would he like? That's why it would be so helpful to know when in his career.
I would say Happiness Is a Warm Gun or A Day in the Life seems like a David Bowie-esque like song he would be into. What do you think?
What if it's Eleanor Rigby? What if it's All the Lonely People? Where do they all come from?
I don't know, man.
That's mine.
I don't.
That's a line I could hear Bowie spit.
Spit that bar. Lyrics. I came to get down. I came
jump
to get
around.
Down.
I knew you'd go jump around. Spitting out
you
lyrics
know me too well.
What does it say, homie? I'll switch ya.
Homie, I'm with ya.
I'm with ya. Okay. He was going to hit you with a switch or something.
He might.
Watch out for Everlast. He's around Kylie forever.
Is going through her bank of Beatles songs.
Mm-hmm. All five of them that
all
I know.
All five of them over and over again.
All You Need Is Love. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I can hear him.
No, I don't think. Honestly, like All You Need Is Love. That seems like something that David Bowie would like mock. Like, all you need is love.
I don't think he would mock the Beatles.
He should, because he's so much better than them.
Man. You're just coming down hard. You know, we are fans on this podcast, okay?
Are you?
Yeah, I'd say we have a fair number of Beatles questions we've asked.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. We come back around to them. Mm. I think they're better than you give them credit for, to be honest.
Okay, but sure. Yeah.
They are considered to be overrated, so
they are
like
overrated.
What does it matter? I'm not gonna like, you know,
we're not having this discussion. I like this anytime the Beatles are brought up in my presence, it always goes in this direction. Here's my official statement. So the Beatles, great songwriters, they're great songwriters. It's a lot of their songs are really catchy. Paul McCartney is an incredible bass player. Their music just doesn't move me. It feels vapid. Anyway, let's move on. So
you like the Bee Gees?
Okay, so I think what do you think our best guest here is?
I like the Eleanor Rigby thing. I think he would like that song. That song would probably stick out to him as being interesting. It's like an early-ish deviation of their norm.
Young Americans was released in 1975.
Okay.
So we have the entire Beatles catalog. They broke up in the 1970.
Mm-hmm. Soon as 69's over, see ya, right?
75. Oh, wait. Something's coming to mind. I was just reading about David Bowie for trivia last week. And
don't pineapple me now.
they performed together, John Lennon and David Bowie, and it was like his last live performance was at
Elton John's.
Oh my God, I'm confusing
Madison Square Garden performance.
I'm so sorry, I'm confusing David Bowie and Elton John. Yeah. Okay, just ignore me. Let's just guess.
All you need is love.
Yes.
All you need is love.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Oh, right. He was a young American. Young Americans, young Americans. He was a young American. You know that song?
No.
Really? Very Which big radio hit. On? Young Americans. Oh, it was released after Diamond Dogs.
Oh, okay.
By a young David Bowie.
That is the dark ages for me in Bowie's. I know stuff that's like later, like from the 90s, and then I know stuff that's earlier that I've gone back to, but damn. Okay, Young Americans.
Yeah. So David Bowie described this as plastic soul. I think maybe the first record he used to describe plastic soul. And in the end, a young singer at the time named Luther Vandross, who was singing backup, unknown at the time, had the idea to add the lyrics, "I read the news today, oh boy." In the background, A Day in the Life, which Kyle did mention at one point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
but it's a little call in, and actually, John Lennon recorded on some of that album, including a cover of Across the Universe. So he was kind of around the Beatles anyway.
I see. So wait, did they collaborate or is this a cover? You said.
Well, they played on the album. I think he played. I think John Lennon played on another song also. Maybe played guitar even. Mm. On at least one other song, but I think they recorded two Beatles songs, two Beatles covers. Maybe Fame. It was. I'll look around, but yeah.
Interesting. All right. We're going to stay in music territory and go with our debut singles question.
Sweet.
This goes out to Kenya, Steven,
Kenya.
Gil, the We Do Stuff podcast, and Manu all wanted to hear a debut singles question.
Nice.
Going back about a decade before Young Americans came out, there was a song called As Tears Go By. As Tears Go By. It was the 1964 debut single of what singer of pop, rock, and jazz, whose voice went through a mid-career transformation due to severe laryngitis?
Is this Tom Waits?
It definitely could be. Can we hear the question one more time, please?
Absolutely. As Tears Go By was the 1964 debut single of what singer of pop, rock, and jazz whose voice went through a mid-career transformation due to severe laryngitis?
Pop, rock, and jazz. That could be... Well, As Tears Go By. And, like, Tom Waits was, like, a... he was, like, a folk singer. And he was around in the 60s.
Yeah.
Oh wait, what about like somebody like Joe Cocker? No, because he was performing at Woodstock in 69, so his debut single wouldn't have been in 65. Well, maybe it would. I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
Pop, rock, and jazz. I'm just trying to think of like singers that have like gravelly voices like that didn't at some other point. I'm trying to think of if there's someone else like Tom Waits where it's kind of like, oh, your voice was like ruined, but like just made kind of interesting.
The only other person I could think of like that is Leslie Feist, but she was like born in 1965 or 64. Right. So that's definitely not her.
It wouldn't be, Dizzy Gillespie, would it? Definitely has jazz.
Wow, he was a trumpet player.
Did he sing? He is, but he sang What a Wonderful World.
What a wonderful world.
That was Louis Armstrong.
Not Dizzy Gillespie. Jesus Christ. The other guy that plays trumpet.
65 debut single. I feel like Louis. No, Louis, only five no. Players. Louis Armstrong's debut single was much earlier than that. Thanks, Bill and Ted Face the Music. So it's not Louis Armstrong. 65. I mean, maybe Bob Dylan.
Yeah, I don't think he has like a gravelly voice like that.
His voice has changed, and I don't think he ever famously had laryngitis, but I also have read articles about how, like, Tom Waits, like, purposely made his voice like that, like, he wasn't sick.
Yeah, like one of those, like, oh, I just smoke so many cigarettes and drink so much whiskey, I'm so interesting.
But that, yeah, that does sound like a fucking fake story, maybe he just, like, actually got sick, yeah. So, what do you think?
Oh, Marianne Faithfull?
Pop, rock, and jazz. I thought she didn't really have a career that spanned that long.
I'm starting to think it might be Marianne Faithfull.
Yeah?
Maybe. I mean, she's definitely done those three styles.
Yeah?
And her voice definitely, like, underwent a huge change. Did he genderize this question at all? No. Do you remember?
No, he did not. Right?
I feel. Can I hear the question again?
Sure. As Tears Go By was the 1964 debut single of what singer of pop, rock, and jazz whose voice went through a mid-career transformation due to severe laryngitis?
I think it's Marianne Faithfull.
How confident are you?
I feel confident. I can't say that it is based entirely on like facts. Like, I don't know that song was something that she released, but she definitely had a huge transformation when she like her voice changed and she had like a huge, like, it was fucking, oh my God, like, what the fuck? She's like singing completely different. Like that part she does in that Metallica song. Your face. But she sings like all shaky, and like all the songs that she did, she started getting like really artsy. That's my mom and dad. I have like 10 Marianne Faithfull albums. My mom and dad loved Marianne Faithfull.
I didn't even think she had 10 albums. I thought she was like,
oh, she had loads of shit.
I thought she was like borderline one hit wonder.
Like, oh, she's no,
not like literally one hit wonder, but like kind of like, oh, she had like a few albums that were good and that's it, bye, you know.
Mommy, can we say Marianne Faithfull?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what?
Quiz mommy.
I mean, what?
She wasn't ready for, sure. I'm baby, Mark.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get it.
I'm a baby.
Yes, baby.
Let's just go with it.
All right, we're going to say Marianne Faithfull.
Very good. Marianne Faithfull is correct.
Hey!
Yes. She had severe laryngitis. She also suffered from homelessness and addiction, but rebounded and has had a very active career since then, actually, transforming her style several times. The song As Tears Go By was originally written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards.
No shit.
I've heard of them.
Okay. She returned the favor by loaning Jagger a copy of The Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov, which would help serve as inspiration for the song Sympathy for the Devil. It is a story about the devil coming to town.
I didn't know that song was about Master and Margarita.
Mm-hmm. And she is not only a star, but she was a muse as well. It's rumored that the Stones hits You Can't Always Get What You Want and Wild Horses were inspired by her. And she also co-wrote the Rolling Stones hit Sister Morphine, the 1969 hit. She was not originally credited as a co-author because she was going through such a hard time. I guess there was some doubts as to whether or not her agent was going to give her the money So Mick and Richards basically took the credits to give her the money, and then it was returned to her later, and she also now is credited with co-writing that song. So
damn,
so yeah. She's like
good dudes,
right? So she's like the Nico of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, her and Mick Jagger had a short relationship, and again, those songs were rumored to be about her, but they maintained a friendship, I guess, or at least a professional friendship, and have collaborated many, many times over the decades.
That's cool.
Very.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I think you're going to know this. We'll see.
A curse.
A video of what Cameroonian American doctor was retweeted by Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. claiming that hydroxychloroquine could be used to treat COVID-19 before being deleted by Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
What was her name?
It was Mark, I only know her as Demon Sperm Doctor. I don't know
so
her name.
So many people put that.
Yes.
I'm annoyed because I know who it is. I just don't know. I don't remember her fucking name.
Starts with an S, I believe. Like Stella. Yeah, and Trump like immediately disowned her. By being racist,
like I can see her face in my mind. I can see
I don't
the
know
videos.
Her and I don't know what her country the people in her country believe, I think is what he said.
Oh god,
he just can't help but
fucking
just be,
shameful man
just fucking be a shameful. Polyp on the asshole of the world,
basically. That's an excellent comparison.
Just going off the cuff here, folks.
Pretty perfect.
I don't know her name. I could see her in my brain. Like I could see what her face looks like. I don't know her name.
Yeah, she said that hydroxychloroquine was effective, and she didn't like when she was part of that. There was like a PAC or some kind of like right leaning organization that brought doctors to the Capitol steps to give speeches in favor of hydroxychloroquine as a remedy for COVID-19. And she gave a speech that went viral, and Trump just latched onto it because he retweets anything that supports his, you know, framework of his worldview.
Right.
Without researching who it is, who they are. And it turned out
check your sources, folks.
It turned out that this doctor had made some rather spurious claims about demon sperm and Democrats and, you know, a lot of conspiracy theory type. I wouldn't even know if it's conspiracy
what's
theory.
Wild
creative,
is,
maybe even independently creative.
What's wild is like I just saw so many of my right leaning friends on Facebook being like, you know, just because she did this work doesn't mean she's wrong about this thing. And I'm like, oh, fucking yikes.
That's what you want in a pandemic is like an, you know, broken clock is right twice a day mentality.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and they seem to be using that mentality like consistently. Anyway, we're getting
yeah, this is a trivia podcast and we don't know the answer. Let's not just take it out on our frustrations out on.
Yeah, I just
ideologically disagree with us. We're idiots and we don't know the answer to this.
I quite simply don't remember her name. Like, I don't remember her name.
Stella Giordano.
It was
Dr. Stella Giordano.
I can't even tell you. I don't remember.
Mark.
Watch.
Yes.
Give us the bad news.
You're half right. Stella
really?
Is correct.
Really?
Are you fucking kidding?
Stella is the first name.
Wrong. Okay.
Stella Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Stella Emmanuel. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, like I visited her website after like people were posting stuff, and like I remember perusing some of her stuff and I was like, yikes. But I just didn't remember her name.
Yeah, I decided I would kind of like look up to see like what stuff there was about her. I had never heard the demon sperm thing. And then looking her up on her Wikipedia page is very interesting.
Yeah.
She worked at a pediatric clinic in Louisiana, and then she opened her own place And from there, she became a wealth transfer coach. Which sounds just like...
pardon me? What is that?
A wealth transfer coach.
Transfer from where to where?
I'm guessing from you to her.
How do I do it?
She has been outspoken supporter of U.S. President Donald Trump and longtime critic of what she views as sexual immorality, including unmarried couples living together, homosexuality, bestiality, polygamy, and what she calls homosexual terrorism.
I'm sorry.
I call that band name.
Aww.
Well, she's right to come down on bestiality. The others I'm not so sure about, but...
Yeah. And then there's the whole thing with
that's
sex dreams and succubi and incubi.
Yeah, that's. But just to take a look at this as a trivia question. I like that actually because you took something that's kind of floating around in the pop culture zeitgeist. That this is a figure that's known by one name. It's almost like an also known as, like an alias question.
Yeah.
Very good. I like that, Mark.
Thanks.
Okay. So my last question for you guys is a Dungeons and Dragons question.
I'm so new to D&D. All right.
Yeah, we've been playing lately.
A little bit.
What do you think?
Fun.
Tell our audience about your character.
Wait, me?
Yeah.
Okay. So my D&D character, what's her name? Orla Barleywine. It's been a minute. Her name is Orla Barleywine, and she is a rogue halfling.
All right.
Yeah. She's neutral, but she's also very loyal to her friends. Like, if she makes a friend, she's like, I'm your, like, ride or die.
Yeah, nice. We've been going through the Lost Minds of Phandelver, which is the intro campaign. And so I've been DMing and also playing a player character, having a little family game, D&D game.
It's actually really funny because our daughter, like, her character is a dwarf cleric.
Yes.
Huh.
But that can swim very well and was raised around mermaids.
She like grew
very
up,
creative with it.
Like grew up on an island. Her name is Sea Star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unlike any Whatever dwarf works. You've ever met.
Loves the water. Just loves it. But it's funny because she thought of this. Like, she was like, no, like, her name's Seastar because she loves the water. And we're like, a dwarf who loves the water. But then, like, on her character sheet, it said that, like, she lived on an island.
Okay.
So we
just, she's going,
remember?
Yeah, that's right.
And we're like, oh, actually, it makes sense that you would be, like, nautical if you grew up on an island.
Mark, when's the last time you played D&D?
It's been a minute. It's been a while. It's been a long while.
I would love to play D&D with you.
Oh my god, you'd be so good at it. I mean, I'm sure you are.
I think I played a little bit with Eric and his wife once or twice.
Well, you should play with us.
Yeah, I love playing it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, here's a question to sate your appetite for Dungeons and Dragons. Illithids are creatures in Dungeons and Dragons better known by what common name? Might be Illithids. Illithids.
Can you spell it?
Illithids. Illithids are creatures in Dungeons and Dragons better known by what common name?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm so new to D&D. Like, we didn't even finish our campaign yet. Like, we, like, barely got into it, honestly.
No,
like, just barely. Like, we're just tip of the iceberg of our campaign.
What creature have you fought in D&D so far?
A couple goblins.
Just a couple goblins.
Gelatinous cube.
Not even yet.
No, not even. Couple goblins. We were at a town, and I tried to question the townspeople, and my party was like, you're a weirdo. And I'm like, fine, let's leave. Even though I think we needed to question the townspeople. Not bitter about it at all.
I cast a magic missile.
Our daughter, when we got to the inn, she's 7, by the way, she ordered a chicken, a roasted chicken, and then took it up to the room and left it out overnight to have for breakfast.
This was her decision.
I was like, you just want to eat the chicken that's been sitting out all night? She's like, yeah.
And then he made her roll.
Do a constitution check.
Which she fucking failed.
You shit your drawers.
Yes.
Yes. I had to bear the bad news.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's amazing.
Teachable moments, Mark.
God damn it.
So, illithids. Any idea what ill is a prefix for?
I don't know why I'm thinking one. Like, I don't know why. Maybe it's like a cyclops. I don't know. Illithid.
Thid.
P-H-I-D, right?
No, yes, T-H-I-D.
Oh, T-H-I-D.
Yeah.
Illithid.
Illithid.
I've just been playing so much Zelda lately that I'm not even thinking about D&D monsters.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you one more hint. These are some of the oldest original creatures from D&D. They debuted in the spring of 1975.
Well, that doesn't help me, but thank you. That was there.
Orcs?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, I'm guessing orcs have been around for a while.
Well, just to clarify, original creation for D&D.
Oh, okay.
So this was invented by Gary Gygax, the creator of D&D, for the game.
I'll be honest with you. One of the only things I know created for the game that I've never heard of outside of D&D is the bugbear.
Oh, I thought it. Wait, there's a bugbear. Didn't we run into a bugbear in our campaign?
We did not. I do have a bugbear miniature, though. We were looking at that. I was showing you my miniatures.
I thought we killed the big dude, and that was the bugbear.
Oh, there was. You're right. Yeah. There was a bugbear. My bad. I'm DMing this game, and I forgot about the bugbear.
Okay. Actually, he's not dead. I think I am dead, actually, trying to make him dead. Yeah. Anyway,
we left on a cliffhanger.
It was an intense cliffhanger. Like, we're all like KO'd. Anyway, sorry. Maybe it's a bugbear.
Did I say bugbear?
Your finger is on the trigger of that wrong button.
I'm just grabbing my beer.
You're full of shit. Hey, I see through you. Hey, I know my husband. Drink. I know my husband. But yes, bugbear. What do you think, Mark?
Bugbear. We'll say bugbear.
No, I'm sorry.
Wrong.
The correct answer, this is a great trivia team name, by the way, if you're looking for one when your pub trivia opens back up. Mind Flayers.
Motherfucker. I was going to say the mind, because Stranger Things, right?
What about Stranger Things?
Isn't that the Mind Flayer?
The Demogorgon is the monster, but that's not a Mind Flayer. Mind Flayers are a little bit different. They might mention Mind Flayers in Stranger Things. They are tall, brain-eating, purple humanoids with tentacle faces and levitation and mind control powers. They are often cruel, insidious, and evil, and need to eat at least one brain per month to survive. They reproduce by implanting a tadpole in a humanoid host.
Yeah, which this are is then, Stranger Things season 2.
The human host is then deposited into a communing spawning pool. And after 135 years, when they die, their brains are thrown into the spawning pool, where it is absorbed by the Elder Brain. Yes. Dungeons & Dragons creator Gary Gygax cited the tentacle monster featured on the cover art of a sci-fi novel titled The Burrowers Beneath by Brian Lumley as the source for the inspiration of the Illithid race. And again, they debuted in spring of 1975.
Nice.
Some of the oldest creations in the D&D universe.
Super cool. Actually legitimately think that stuff is cool, even though most people probably think it's real nerdy.
It's incredible world building, and it's neat that even 40 years later, people are still using
such detail.
It to, play games and socialize, especially even now. I don't think that Gary Gygax would have ever imagined there would be a pandemic that would lock a bunch of people in their house and then be playing his game over the internet.
Right.
You know, and using these creations. So pretty impressive cultural icon, Dungeons and Dragons.
Very much
agreed.
So. Are you ready for your last question of the first round?
Indeed.
What famous explorer mistook the Sumatran rhinoceros to be a unicorn in the late 1200s?
Late 1200s? Well, then my initial instinct guess is Marco Polo.
Mm-hmm. And he was over there, right?
Yes, he was everywhere. And
he was everywhere.
And that time, I
people
mean,
people were like, Marco,
okay, not,
and he was like, Polo.
Not like, not like everywhere, but like, you know, Asia, yeah. Africa, Europe, mm-hmm. like he was like in that, like it's just fucking all over it. And that time period as well would indicate Marco Polo to me.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
Well, my first thought was like Hannibal, but then I remembered he was riding elephants, so he'd probably know that that's not a fucking unicorn. You know, he wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and
and I don't know that I would classify him as an explorer necessarily. He was.
Did you? I don't think he said explorer.
He did.
I was just. Oh, did
explorers
he? Okay.
Was the category, and Marco Polo was definitely an explorer.
Yeah, I would say Marco Polo. Mm-hmm.
I like that. You know, there are other explorers who have made mistakes, like Christopher Columbus, believing that he found India,
and being a rapist, and. Being
well, I'm talking about like goofy mistakes, like thinking a elephant is a unicorn.
Basically starting to like human trafficking, you know? Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Look, Christopher Columbus was definitely a piece of shit. I don't know that he started human trafficking.
I mean, he was like,
but
I mean, I don't, I mean, he, I mean, I'm sure. Yeah.
What right. do you know about Marco Polo?
I watched the Netflix series.
Yeah, I'm sure they painted him in a good light.
No, they
no?
didn't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it just the show kind of felt like it was trying to be Game of Thrones. There was one.
Did he mention a unicorn in it? Was he like, "That's a unicorn"?
No, but
the
they mentioned that
elephant.
He had been like fucking everywhere. So, like, and in that time period, 1200s, like he was that was his time period.
But they didn't show this famous blunder of him thinking it's a, I mean.
How the fuck would they know it's not a unicorn back then? They thought unicorns were real. They're like, oh, fuck yes, unicorns.
It does have that long snout.
Just like back then when they were like, oh, yeah, you got better watch out for those mermaids. They're real.
It's a unicorn.
That went to those. Don't go
that
near
thing
those.
Does not look like a horn. That looks like a big rubbery Ooh. Hose. No, it's a horn. Look at it.
So
those
yeah,
two I'm, things coming off the side look like horns. So there's two of them.
Okay, so can you just repeat the question one more time, just to verify our? Thank you, Mark.
Not a problem. Absolutely. What famous explorer mistook the Sumatran rhinoceros to be a unicorn in the late 1200s?
Yeah, and Sumatra is
oh, it's not even
Africa.
An elephant.
Yeah, so
it's a rhinoceros. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say.
Yeah, that doesn't really change our answer. Just my joke. With the long rubbery nose.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Sumatra's. Wait. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to see. I would say, yeah, Marco Polo. Or, like, somebody like Ponce de Leon. Like,
Ponce de Leon wasn't over there, was he?
No. Cortez is what I'm thinking. Sorry,
Cortez. Was Cortez over there? Were the Spanish over there in Sumatra?
No. I'm just spitballing.
Alexander
the
Great.
I feel good about
again,
Marco
I wouldn't
Polo.
Call him an explorer. Yeah, let's go with Marco Polo. Marco Polo.
That is correct.
Hey.
Marco Polo.
Good job, babe.
You're welcome.
Very nice. Yes, thank you. I would have said Magellan if I was left to my own devices, so I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here.
All right. Are you guys ready for a break?
Yes.
Cool. We have a miscorrection and a couple no notes and some more trivia coming up in round two.
Ow!
I guess we'll just listen to David Holbrook's
David Holbrook.
Hit it, David. Ah, lovely.
Mm.
We have a miscorrection / no note. Well, this is a no note here from Sarah. She writes, "Hey, Mark and Lee, Saruta here with a quick no note. Hysteria is indeed a sexist term. It was believed that hysteria occurred due to the uterus moving randomly within the abdomen, essentially just moving around in there, causing you to act all crazy.
Tectonic plate shifts.
Essentially, it was, I think this was a little earthquakes as a reference to, right? Essentially, it was a blanket diagnosis used whenever a woman stepped out of line or acted unwomanly, quote unquote unwomanly. The term is actually now removed from the DSM, the psychiatric textbook of diagnosis, essentially, due to its sexist roots. Hope this helps, Sarah." So quick note about the term hysteria there. Kevin wrote into our Facebook group saying that the live album Mental Jewelry, that title actually has five syllables in it. Jewelry is a three-syllable word, not four. So that further debunks your theory, Kyle, of them only having four-syllable album titles. We already knew that. We figured that out. But Kevin just wanted to like point that out. Like, Mental Jewelry.
Thanks, Kevin.
Jewelry's got three.
Yeah, I guess you just do that. Jewelry.
Mental Jewelry.
And just to bring up our last album or last
Mental
album.
Mental Jewelry. Mental Jewelry. See, hard four.
Palm to Air. Our last episode was titled "Palm to Air." That was a reference to one of Mark's questions that he asked Kyle and I. Our pineapple gaffe.
Foolishly got that wrong.
Yeah, and to make it worse, Mark, I was thinking about in episode 34, Bart Simpson's dick is the title of that episode. Episode 34, you and Dallas correctly sussed the answer to one of my questions. The question was, owing its name to the Italian word for apple, what hair product originally contained a mashed version of the fruit?
See,
pomade.
Pomade.
See, so, I actually remembered that, and that's why I was thinking that.
That's why it's so silly that we forgot, because I love that question. That's a great question, and I'm just embarrassed, basically.
It's an all-time classic.
Yep.
Yeah.
If we ever like hang it up and they run us on
syndication
morning TV or whatever, or like morning radio.
Not with our F-bombs.
No classic. And they'll ask that question.
Yeah.
People be like, whoa, this is from 2018, 2019. Sick.
I can't believe that we got that wrong. You know, Mark, sometimes I become so overwhelmed by my wife's beauty that I just can't think straight.
Aww.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Aww, honey.
Well, we have one more. We have one more no note here as well. This is
again,
from
distracted by the beauty.
This is from Lydia Eldags. Hi guys. I just started listening to you recently. Finally made my way through your whole back catalog. Just tuned in to my first time via Zoom tonight with Mark. It was awesome. It was awesome. Your trivia has always really been my style. I've really been missing my local pub trivia. You guys are totally fantastic. I'm more than happy to throw the usual $12 in tips I would give to my local pub trivia hosts to you guys.
Aww.
Though I hope I can continue to support you both soon. Thanks for that. She is our new team captain on Patreon.
Hell yeah.
I'm so thankful that you guys have continued this podcast. It's been totally awesome, even if your segment jingles have been out of sync. Thank you so much. So glad to be a supporter, Lydia.
Thanks, Lydia.
Yes. So thank you, Lydia. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Sarah. If you'd like to write us with a miscorrection, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media.
Yes, social media. Are you ready for the second round?
Mark just ate a cup of ice cream.
Quiz me, daddy.
Mm. And he's like, social media.
Social media. Walden Mm-hmm. Mm. Kylan has perked up. To her eyes, nothing else. Walden, written by Henry David Thoreau, details his experiences living in a cabin he built for 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days by Walden Pond in what state?
Massachusetts.
Man, right out of the gate there.
Yeah, Massachusetts.
I knew it was in New England, but I wasn't certain where. You're pretty confident. I'm going with my wife on this one.
You are correct, Massachusetts.
Woo! Man, quick answer there. Quick draw.
That's the news.
Mm-hmm. Impressive.
Right out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Philosophy is my next category. That is what our Patreon supporters had in mind for you. Who do we got here? Kevin and Sarah. Matthew. Spencer. And David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook. This one goes out to you guys.
Three votes each time?
No, just the one.
Fair.
That's just how we say his name, you know. That's how you pronounce his name. What French philosopher who wrote about theories of power and human sexuality was the first major public figure in France to die of complications related to AIDS?
France?
Yes, I kind of went with France.
I want to say either Albert Camus or Immanuel Kant. I'm swaying towards Camus, though.
Camus.
Camus.
Camus?
I mean, he wrote about all those things. Kant.
You can't say that on this show.
I mean, I feel like Camus died like in the 60s. Maybe I'm wrong. Which would make sense if he was like the first person to like get AIDS in France or whatever. Wait. Can you repeat the question?
Sure. What French philosopher who wrote about theories of power and human sexuality was the first major public figure in France to die of complications related to AIDS?
It's got to be Camus. It's got to be.
I was going to say, isn't Kant German?
I thought he was French. Kafka is German. Nietzsche is German as well, I think.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be Camus. He wrote about those things, and he had one of his novels was called The Plague.
We're going to say Camus.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. Albert Camus died in 1960.
I knew
Michel Foucault.
Motherfucker.
Died in 1984.
Foucault.
In Paris, France. Foucault was also interested in documenting the history of ideas, to give him some other nerd cred, not just philosophy, but the history of ideas. And but he's more often associated with the association of power and knowledge and how that could influence social control through institutions. That was kind of his thing. And of course, we are still talking about how power can influence control, social control in our institutions. It's a hot button issue these days, especially with Trump calling for the ban of diversity, critical race theory, I think is what he calls it. So Michel Foucault was a spark
Foucault
earlier in that discussion. Yeah.
Foucault's Pendulum. It's a very important book by Umberto Eco as well.
Mm. Here's your second question.
Hmm.
Richard Colson Baker is better known by what stage name? This is a musician.
Richard Colton Baker.
Colson. Richard Baker. Rick Baker. Rick Baker is a makeup effects artist.
I don't know why I'm thinking D. Snyder. Richard Colson? Paulson?
Colson Baker.
Okay. Just give us a hint. I fucking hate your question sometimes, like Mark. He's just like, you either know it or you don't.
There's
fuck
nothing
you
wrong
if
with
you
that.
Don't.
You just, the last question he asked, you knew right away.
Okay, yeah, because... Mm-hmm.
That's how trivia works.
Well, okay, there was... Okay, no, no, no. He gave lots of clues in the last question. He was like, Emerson, Walden on Walden Pond. Mm-hmm. Where is Walden Pond? So even if he was just like... Like, there was a lot of details there. So, like, mm-hmm. yeah, I know fucking... I've been
so
there.
So you think
I've
this question
Walden
is
Pond.
A little sparse for Mark, is what you're saying?
Yes.
He does sometimes just ask sparse questions.
Just give me...
He doesn't always use the PIBS method
like
we do.
Just give me a little hint. I just need it. I just need it, please. I just need it.
You make me sick. I will say that most people refer to this person, I believe, in their like in their normal life as Colson Baker.
Colson Baker. Mm. Wow, that's such a huge help. Okay.
I thought my given name, Colson Baker, was kind of cool, but Travis Barker just sounds a little bit cooler.
Colson Baker.
My parents really almost had
good
it there.
Stage name. Can you give us like an era? No. Whatever.
Yeah, currently.
Colson Baker.
Currently. Okay. Well, that's not good, because nobody uses their real names anymore. It could be Juice World, for all I know.
I just wrote maybe a trivia question World. About this for Twitch trivia. There was literally a category, like singers who sing under a fake name.
Is it The Weeknd?
No. His name was like Alfia something.
Hmm?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Alfia?
It's like, it was like an, or Ahmed. Or something. I don't remember.
Akon?
No. Colson Baker. It's not Grimes either. Grimes is Claire Boucher.
Yeah. Not Richard. I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's popular right now?
Who?
This young fella named Post Malone.
No, his name is his. No, that's,
he looks like a
no.
Coulson.
It's not. It's not. I because of the
Coulson, get in here.
Because of the research I just did for
Richard
that trivia Coulson question.
Baker, you get in here right now.
His name is actually something Post. So it's like something Post. Post is his last name.
All right. Fine.
It's like
you
got something
talked down there real fast.
Yeah. Well, sounds like she knows what she's talking about. So
I was just literally.
I don't
about
know.
This.
I don't know that about him. I'm not gonna fight it.
Colson Baker. Musician.
Logic. No.
I have no idea. Like, maybe if I had like a genre of music, I don't know.
Alt J.
No.
My name is Alt J. Alt J is my name. I don't know.
I don't know.
You want to go Juice World?
No, let's go with 100 Gex.
Is that a person?
Yes.
We're not going to be committing a crime like that Limp Bizkit guy.
We say I mean, it's going to be wrong.
That's the name of a person?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, why not? I have no idea. 100 Gex.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Who is Colson Baker, Mark?
Well, 100 Gex is Dylan Brady and Laura Less, apparently.
A duo.
A duo. The name I was looking for was MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, Colson Baker.
Okay.
Recently I never would switched have known styles that. A little bit to the pop punk. And yeah.
That's what I heard. I've seen a meme
being
of him.
Being dragged for wearing pink.
Yeah, Golden Girls style, basically. Which he does, it does look like a Golden Girls style. You can't deny that. The poofy hair, the pearl necklace, the pink top.
What do you want me to tell you?
That stay golden.
Like Sophia to me. You're talking about Sophia.
Stay golden, I say.
Sophia the first.
Board games is the next category I have for you guys.
Okay.
This goes out to Steven, Kevin, and Sarah. Mark, you wanted a board games question, it looks like. Kenya. And Lucas.
Mm.
And Dallas.
Mm.
As well. Board games. What is the most expensive property to own in a standard British version of Monopoly? Based on an affluent London village named after an annual event that was once held in the area. In the United States, we have Boardwalk as the most expensive property. In a standard British version of Monopoly, that space is named after what affluent London village that itself was named after an annual event that was once held in the area?
I don't know why the first thing that comes to mind is Kensington Gardens, but I don't know if I'm right.
Soho?
Soho. Piccadilly Circus is another thing, but I don't think that's like necessary. It's like the equivalent of like Times Square to like.
Yeah, I think Piccadilly Circus isn't a. It seems more like a
Pennsylvania Avenue type.
Not property. Like not like a place where people live. Yeah.
I mean, people live there, but yeah, it's not sought after.
I like to imagine that our British listeners right now are having a bit of a laugh.
Are you having a laugh?
They're taking the Mickey out.
I don't know. I feel kind of good about Soho. It's a section of London, I think.
Okay.
Does that sound like a rich neighborhood?
Yes, it does. I literally know nothing about.
Do you know shit about fuck? I've been meaning to ask you about that. Do you know shit about fuck?
I've been to London. And I can't tell you what the most expensive neighborhood was, like, while I was there. I mean, we stayed in Hammersmith, and that seemed pretty middle grade. So I'm going to say not Hammersmith.
A blonde chicken Hammersmith Palais.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess Soho. I mean, Soho is in New York, but, I mean, why can't there be a Soho in London?
There's a Soho London,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so positive. Why not?
All right, we're going to say Soho.
No, I'm sorry.
Fuck.
That's wrong. The hint here, the important hint, is named after an annual event that was once held in the area. The correct answer is Mayfair.
Oh, I don't.
It was common in Britain to hold fairs at the beginning of May for trade, as well as a way for some to continue the ancient celebration of the Gaelic holiday Beltane.
Ooh.
The fair, however, was banned in 1764 because of noise complaints from assholes, the wealthier residents. It now lives on, though, in the oft-reviled game of Monopoly.
Hmm. Here is your last question of the second round.
Yes.
What is the mathematical equation for Newton's second law of motion?
Motherfucker. All those assholes that request math for Twitch trivia, and I see the equation for Newton's second law of motion, and I'm like, no, too easy. I'm not doing that as the question. But here I am being asked that question, and I don't know the fucking answer.
Suddenly it's too hard.
Let me ask you a question. Yes. Do you know shit about fuck?
No, not when it comes to math. I don't know shit about fuck when it comes to math. This is why I did music, actually. That's like, that proved itself very, like, yeah. Math and music theory are very deeply connected. So maybe that's why I'm not great at music theory, but whatever. But yours great, folks. It's great. Anyway.
Go off, queen.
I don't...
Speak on that.
Absolute bitch.
Okay, let's take this seriously though here.
Okay.
So Mark recently asked about this in the context of you know, this guy Newton
was this all, guy.
He was all quarantined up thinking about shit, and he came up with some laws, three laws in particular. You asked about this, and now you want the formula of the second. That is what you come to me on this day. That is what you come to me on this day and ask me for. All right. He's got three laws. What's one? What goes up must come down.
Are you thinking of Isaac Asimov?
No, those are the three robot laws.
What is it about Isaac's and three laws?
They fucking love him.
Yeah, seriously.
Love, fucking love.
It's because they got either two S's or two A's.
If you know an Isaac, ask him what their three laws are. Let us know.
So Isaac Newton's first law.
Ask him off.
I really do think you're right, though. I think it is what must go up must come down.
But he wants the equation. So it's going to be like force times mass equals acceleration. Or something like that. You want to go with force times mass equals acceleration? I don't know, but that sounds like it could be correct. It could be. It's one of them. It's probably not. You can miscorrect me, though. But in the moment, I'm feeling it.
For now, I'm feeling it.
Can you name another one?
Nope.
See me on this battlefield. I have force times mass equals acceleration.
I will meet you on that battlefield. And love will win.
Shout out to our girl, Marianne Williamson. Not Marianne Faithful, but Marianne Williamson. We miss you, Marianne.
I don't know, babe.
We miss your presence in our political discourse.
I do. Like, just because she was fucking hilarious. No shade.
She brought strong... crystal energy.
She did.
To the debates.
She brought that strong essential oil energy.
Oh, don't fuck with me. I brought quartz, bitch. I've been charging this in the moon, and you have no idea.
She all but said it. Force times mass equals acceleration. What else do we know about laws of motion?
Like a little bit, but not this specific equation.
What about speed? Speed is different than acceleration, right?
Okay, isn't it? Wait. Is it that, like, the object? No, wait. I don't know if this is Newtonian or not, but, like, something about how. I'm so dumb. Something about, like, an accelerating object and how things attached to the accelerating object will also be accelerating at the same rate.
All right, put that in an equation now. So that's what we need to submit. I'm thinking he's going to start simple with just, like, objects.
Okay.
Not, like, secondary objects attached to other objects. That sounds like advanced... mechanics.
Yeah, dude, this is not my strong point. I was very close
so
to
objects
failing
at rest
chemistry
tend to remain at rest, right?
In high school.
So it's not going to be like object times nothing equals staying. Let's just do force times mass equals acceleration. I don't know why. That's sticking out.
Let's do it.
Force times mass equals acceleration.
Let's do it.
That's correct.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Hey. Force equals mass times acceleration.
All right.
You don't even.
Wait, I think that's different than what I actually said.
What did you say?
That's what you said.
No, I think I said force times mass equals acceleration.
Oh.
Yep.
Then I'm sorry. That's incorrect. I'm sorry.
Yep. What the fuck?
I gave you a false correct.
Well, F I still feel good about at least
MA.
Yeah.
Fuck Ma.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know. You can't break me down. I feel good. Even if I didn't get points for that.
You were on the right
I
track.
I feel proud you that at least right I identified, you know.
That's the thing, that you have someone else on the team that just happens to remember that that isn't how it sounds. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's force equals, not force times.
Right.
And you just somehow pull it out.
Okay. Force equals mass times acceleration.
Yes.
That just makes more sense anyways. When you think about it, I was like, eh, force times mass equals acceleration. Sure. Why not? That's what acceleration is.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
If I were the quiz master, I would give you credit for it. Because you...
Thank you, darling.
Because...
I'm so handsome.
No, no, no. I mean, I do think you're so handsome.
You're going to give him points because he lays pipe.
But because...
If I give this guy no points, he ain't going to lay pipe.
It's important to keep a relationship happy and healthy.
It's called quid pro quo. And it's sexual harassment, and I won't stand for it.
No, because like you clearly knew what you were talking. Like you knew the answer. You just like flubbed. Like you knew it.
I would give partial credit if nobody else got it, I think. But if other teams got it, I'd have to give them full credit, you know, and then maybe give them partial credit.
For example, when I wrote Lee trivia for. Mm-hmm. My darling husband's birthday last month. There, like, I had a question about, like, what was the spinoff comic from Justin Peterson's Very Near Mint comic?
Yeah.
And the actual answer was, like, Bellanova, Red Star, blah, 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 Space Girl, something. But a lot of people.
99 at the edge of the universe.
Yeah. So, but a lot of people
Space
just.
Space Girl, blah, blah, blah.
But a lot of people just wrote Space Girl. And I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah. That's it. That's the right answer.
You're a generous quizmaster.
I'm not. I'm just not an asshole.
Right. Like me and Mark. I see.
You are kind of an asshole when it comes to grading. You're like, oh, nope. This is misspelled. Nope. It's wrong. It's wrong.
I expect greatness. Okay.
He expects gratitude.
He really does. Which is why he's married to me.
Okay, are you guys ready for a... Well, oh, this is the one that you get to choose.
Oh.
Oh.
You get to choose this one.
Mark Davis gets to choose.
So, we have U.S. history, Olympic athletes, or hip-hop artists.
I'm going to go with hip-hop artists.
I knew you would.
Okay. Born Daniel Dumoulin. What supervillain rapper is also known by their producer handle, Metal Fingers?
Metal Fingers. I don't know.
Super villain, did you say, or just villain?
Super villain. Born Daniel Dumoulin. What supervillain rapper is also known by their producer handle, Metal Fingers?
What does supervillain mean? Is that a group?
I know what it is, I think.
Is it? Is it like a rap group?
What?
Supervillain.
No, I think he's referring to Dr. Doom. The guy's name is Dumoulin, Metal Fingers. I think, and he's known as a producer. I think it's Dr. Doom.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. This is the thing that I'm having trouble remembering. There's an MF Doom.
Motherfucking Doom.
And I don't know if there's a Dr. Doom and an MF Doom, or if it's just MF Doom.
I think there is a Dr. Doom, and I think I've heard Lee talk about it. but I could be wrong.
My brain is in a strange place right now.
From what I've heard from MF Doom, that dude's a fucking beast.
You want to go with so MF good. Doom?
So fucking good.
This is now your leading MF Doom podcast.
I mean, I don't know things about DJ hip-hop, Mark. Unfortunately, I wish I knew more.
I guess we'll just go with there's Doom. I just don't know if there's like a difference or if there are differences or if there are a Doom, an MF Doom, a Dr. Doom, some variation thereof, if one person uses all three, what the copyrights look like. Let's go with MF Doom. We're going to go with MF Doom.
That's correct. MF Doom is right. Yes. Metal Fingers is his production handle. Oh,
there it is.
Because he has a Dr. Doom mask. As far as I know, there might be a Dr. Doom rapper, but MF Doom does wear a Dr. Doom style mask. Right. When he performs, for better or worse.
I knew he wore a mask, yeah.
That has aided him, actually, in putting, like, fake MF Dooms out on tour that are either rapping to a, like, playback or something.
Wasn't one of them Hannibal Buress?
Yes, that's right. Hannibal Buress admitted that he was, he did one at, like, some festival that he was also playing at. He was the fake Doom, as it's known. But MF Doom, very talented rapper. He was rapping in the 90s in a group. I don't have it written down here, and I can't remember off the top of my head what that group was. But then he stepped out of the game for a while due to his brother dying and re-entered as MF Doom later. And since then, he's had a pretty successful career as an independent rapper. I would recommend the album Food as a good starting spot. The song Doomsday, where he's talking about his epitaph on his tombstone. He says, right above my government, Dumoulin, which is a pun about his name because his name is Dumoulin, and that's his government name. But he's also saying Doom will lay, like I will lay down in the grave. So a little hint there if you're familiar with the rapper.
Nice.
And his name, MF Doom.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, huh?
That's it. That's my third.
All right. Let's take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back. We'll answer some. We'll rate some questions. Yes?
We got to rate my question.
My goodness.
And then we'll do some last questions, and then we'll seal this puppy up.
Boom.
Cool.
Back, and it's time for a rate my question. You went with the wrong theme with 100% confidence.
Can we just do it again? Can we please do it?
No, we cannot. We're out of time.
Yeah,
we must move on.
God damn it.
That gets stayed.
That was beautiful, though.
Forever.
I can't wait to hear it. Bop, bop, bop!
Oh, Christ.
I'm so mad at you.
Rate my question. We have a rate my question here from Miles. Miles Bublé.
Uh-oh.
Miles writes, hey, dudes. Since you are both musicians, here's a music question for you. There are currently 22 people who have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice for their part in two different bands or artists. Who's the only person inducted to the Hall of Fame on three separate occasions? Thanks, Miles. Thank you, Miles.
I know Stevie Nicks was just inducted twice, once for Fleetwood Mac and once like for herself.
Right. So is there a third? Because there's 22 or 21 others like Stevie Nicks, presumably, who have been inducted twice. But Miles is asking about the third.
Do you think it's like, do you think it's Paul McCartney? Beatles, Paul McCartney, and Wings?
Could be.
It could be, yeah. Paul McCartney is a good guess.
Even though Beatles...
Solo not. Paul McCartney in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Can you read the question one more time?
Yes. There are currently 22 people who have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice for their part in two different bands or artists. Who is the only person inducted to the Hall of Fame on three separate occasions?
So three separate occasions, I wonder if one of them could possibly be for producing or something.
Do people get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for producing?
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I mean, they don't get like the same pomp and circumstance, but I think people do still get.
I think it's a group and artist thing. It's really, not even like for an album. It's like, it's Green Day this year.
So I've
Metallica now.
Yeah. So like I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and it's like exclusively just like artists, which is kind of fucked up when you think about it, honestly. Like,
so, all right, then we've got Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Neil Young, yep. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility. I know I've seen this. I know I've seen this somewhere. I just have to pull out of my like head who it was.
Or somebody like Eric Clapton for Eric Clapton and Traffic and Cream.
Derek and the Dominoes.
Yes.
That is also a really, really good one.
Mm-hmm. Dave Grohl, is he a twofer?
He would be a twofer, for sure.
Nirvana and Foo Fighters.
He wouldn't be a threesome.
Them Crooked Vultures has not made it to the Hall of Fame yet.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's got to be a big name. It's got to be like a Paul McCartney or an Eric Clapton or...
Trying to think of if there's anyone else that did like the super group thing. They're not super group necessarily, but
what about somebody that was in the Traveling Wilburys? There's a lot of people in that group.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. Well, so I don't think it would be Roy Orbison. I don't think it would be Tom Petty. Neither of them really did stuff outside of, you know, George Harrison, Beatles. George Harrison solo stuff, but
I mean his solo stuff does not merit a place.
The Wilburys themselves did not get inducted, I guess.
I don't think so. Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan.
You know, when I first read this question, I felt somewhere that I had seen this before and the answer was Neil Young. But I can't be certain.
Here's the thing with Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Springfield. There's something happening here. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Springfield. Neil Young and Crazy Horse, whatever. And Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. I think it's probably Neil Young.
That sounds good to me. That sounds like a great guess.
Let's go with him.
Okay.
Let's go with Neil.
All right. I'm going to check out the answer
here. I think I did see something like that, too. And he was probably just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm the grandfather of grunge, mommy.
We're wrong. Kyle Ian, the correct answer is Eric Clapton.
Mm.
Eric Clapton, triple inductee. This is from a website that says, Where's Eric? I don't know if this is Eric Clapton's official website.
It's linked to his
Where's
iPhone.
Where's Eric? That's his official website. www.where'seric? Question mark.
No, it's actually where'seric.com. I don't know if this is official or a fan site. Yes, Eric Clapton was previously inducted as a member of Cream and as a member of the Yardbirds.
Yardbirds. That's so not Traffic. Cream
and
the Yardbirds.
In 2000 as a solo artist. But he was also in John Mayall's Blues Breakers, Blind Faith. We neglected to mention Blind Faith.
I was thinking, okay, no. That was what I was thinking. I confused Traffic with Blind Faith.
Play the guitar solo on When My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Mm-hmm. Which Prince took. Prince destroyed that, basically. Mm-hmm. At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
As he stared down old Tom Petty.
Yep. We're going to put a link to that in the show notes because that's an amazing performance. So, yeah. Eric Clapton. Miles, I love this question.
That is a great question.
Yep.
What a great question.
Got thrown over by a false memory, I guess. So, sorry about that. But that's not the question's fault.
No.
It's your fault for not believing me.
It's just my fault. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. All right.
Mm.
Are you guys ready for a question about drugs?
Yes, this is going to be about some lame drugs.
Drugs. The category. Lame drugs. Why? What would make you say that, Mark? Are you judging me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's going to be about like acetaminophen.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
You don't think you're going to like this question? You've got a bad feeling about
it. I might. Let's see.
All right. Rate my question, Mark. I'm going to drop it right now. You rate this question when we're done.
All right.
You tell me what you think.
Well, this has nothing to do with the rating of the question. I just think that you're building it up like it's going to be about like fun drugs, but it's going to end up being about like, headache stuff.
No, I mean.
Headache stuff.
I mean,
any drug is headache stuff if you do it wrong.
I wouldn't classify this as either. Here's the question. What turn of the 20th century bartender is responsible for the namesake of a substance used to render another insensible? What turn of the 20th century bartender is responsible for the namesake of a substance used to render another insensible?
Kyle's face right now.
You can rate this question too.
Insensible?
Yes. Without their senses.
Early 20th century?
Turn of the 20th century.
Okay.
Bartender.
Man.
Okay, so I'm thinking the bartender.
Is the person inside Piano Man?
I hate that song.
A lot of people do.
It's the worst song. It's just like the same verse over and over again. It's terrible. Hate it. Turn of the century, like opium was really popular back then. Can you just repeat that dumbass question again, please?
Wow. Yeah. Here it is. One more time.
Here we go.
It's not dumbass. I'm sorry. It's a very good question. We are the dumbasses.
What turn of the 20th century bartender is responsible for the namesake of a substance used to render another insensible?
The namesake of the what?
Of a substance used to render another person insensible.
Absinthe. And who is the bartender? I don't know.
So to give it to someone and make it so they have no senses.
It was named after the bartender.
Oh, is it cocaine? Wait a minute. No, I named after the bartender. I mean, I don't get this named after the bartender shit. What fucking popular bartenders are there?
This is how I feel when I try to suss out your questions, Mark. Like, how the fuck am I supposed to know what a bartender's name is from the early 20th century?
It's going to be some schmuck everyone knows.
I just, you know, you guys got me looking at this question. I'm going to rate my own question. Just want to modify it. I'm going to take out the is responsible for the namesake. They are the namesake.
Okay.
For the drug.
Yes, the substance used to render another insensible.
Well, I mean, a popular drug used that in, I mean, all I can think of is absinthe. That would, like, for the time, and but we need to know the name of the bartender, not the drug.
But we're also trying to think of something that makes someone so they don't have their senses.
Absinthe.
They can't smell. They can't feel. They can't taste. They can't touch. They're just on an island.
Which I guess, yeah, cocaine lines up with all those.
It's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, I know that it makes you numb. I'm trying to think of, like...
Also opium, but I don't think...
So, yeah, I mean, like, so heroin... Like, heroin is named after something. I don't know what, though. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Neither of us know. And that's the tea, hunty. We'll say, well, morphine, like, morphine is named after Morpheus.
The god of dreams.
The god of dreams. So, like, it's not morphine. You know what I mean?
Morpheus wasn't a famous bartender in turn of the century.
I don't think so, no.
No, he wasn't?
He was a famous guy with two pills in his hands.
Hey, man, you try this Morpheus
yet?
Yeah,
I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't like Excuse the way me. This question is worded. I love you, honey, but I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like that we're asked to name a specific bartender. Like, how the fuck are we supposed to know the name of a specific bartender?
I think you might recognize the name when you hear it.
I knew you were going to say that.
I would just withhold judgment about this question until, you know,
yeah,
until we're done here.
I think it's, hang on. Oh, is it Trader Vic? He's not turn of the century. He was like 1950s, 60s.
What's the stuff, like the date rape drug? Date rape drug.
Rohypnol? Yeah.
And it would definitely make the other person senseless. I don't know if that means, like, knock them out. I don't see you going to your neighborhood speakeasy and, excuse me, is Rohypnol working? He makes the best old-fashioned.
I'm just trying to, like, Tom Collins, it's not Tom Collins, but I feel like it's in that same vein, like, where, like, it's a common Arnold Palmer. Obviously, those are not the right answers, but it's, like, in that vein where, like, I don't know, there's got to be, like, a famous bartender with, like, a famous drink. With, like, a very strong liquor in it that would render you insensible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the zombie.
That was developed by Trader Vic.
I don't know, Kyle. I know the answer is either going to be something I've never heard of in my life or something that makes me so angry.
Yes, I agree. And, like, I just know my husband, and I know it's going to be something we're going to be like, fuck. I just know it. So let's just maybe take like a really good guess.
Okay.
Just defeat in his voice.
Yeah, dude.
Folks.
I'm trying to think of like drugs that they no longer sell that they used to sell. I mean, I guess it could be cocaine. Can I just say cocaine?
That's the name of the bartender. Cocaine. That's his name.
It's named after, maybe his name is cocaine. He's French.
Cocaine.
He studied Camus and Foucault.
My cocaine.
I guess we're going to say cocaine.
Let's just say cocaine.
We're going to say cocaine.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. The correct answer is one Michael Mickey Finn. Mickey Finn is his name.
Oh, slip him a Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Bar manager of the Lone Star Saloon and Palm Garden in Chicago. Mickey Finn was first profiled in Herbert Asbury's 1940 novel, Gem of the Prairie, where he details the bar manager's propensity to fence stolen goods, promote pickpocketing, running a prostitution ring, and drugging patrons with chloral hydrate to rob them before dumping their bodies in an alley. Oftentimes, his own employees would be the ones that would be dropping the chloral hydrate in their drink. In 1903, the Daily News described the Lone Star Saloon as, quote, the scene of blood-curdling crimes through the agency of drugged liquor. While the Inter-Ocean reported on the following day, Lone Star Saloon loses its license. Mickey Finn's alleged knockout drops put him out of business. 15 years later, in 1918, the Washington Post reported the Illinois state attorney identifying a powder called tartar emetic being used by waiters to compel the giving of gratuity. They would put this powder in the food of the patrons, and it would make them more susceptible to tip larger, where the waiters referred to this as Mickey Finns. They were using Mickey Finns is what they said. About 15 years later, 100 members of the Chicago's Waiters Union Local Number 7 were arrested in the scandal. Asbury, who wrote about this, Herbert Asbury, who wrote Gem of the Prairie, he also wrote the novel The Gangs of New York, which would later become the Scorsese movie. So Mickey Finn is the answer to the question.
Yeah, I never would have known that.
Never. You've never heard of Mickey Finn?
No.
No? Something that they would... reference in maybe the Maltese Falcon, see? Slip him a Mickey Finn, see?
Yeah, I've always heard Slip him a Mickey, but I never knew exactly what it was. And now I do.
That's the story.
Here's your last question. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready.
What is the highest number on a standard roulette wheel? Double hmm.
I'm not an avid gambler.
Have you ever played roulette?
Never.
Me neither. There's two parts to it. There's the wheel and the board.
This guy's now, good.
Now,
this guy's might, damn good.
You might think, oh, well, the numbers on the wheel go 1 to 100. There's 100 spots, 1 through 100. But I wonder if it's like a Wheel of Fortune type thing where it skips numbers and there could be like 300, 500, you know, it like goes up incrementally by like maybe 250 or something like that, or exponentially. What do you think?
It sounds about right. I mean, they had to have based that on something. Right?
So what's the highest number? Do you think they get up to like 2,500?
I mean... It's hard to say because, like...
Wait. No.
I mean, Wheel of Fortune, like, yeah. They can get up to, like, I think, like... There's, like, a 100K, like...
Yeah, but I'm thinking... Now that I'm thinking about it, the point of roulette, though, is you put your marker on the board where what you think it's going to fall on. So there would be no need to go that high, you know, because when the ball goes on the roulette wheel, you wouldn't need, like, you know, just random numbers. You could actually have them sequentially, right? So, like, you say red 15. And that might mean I have 15 and it's going to be red, or it's going to be on spot number 15.
Yeah.
That's also red.
I mean, I can't suss with you here, babe. I mean, like,
nothing.
Everything, like, you're saying sounds plausible, but I've never played. I haven't seen it with my eyes. I don't know. Like, I don't gamble.
Well,
and not outside of trivia. I feel like you've sometimes gambled more than I have.
Well, you know.
You have. You would, like, spend time in Vegas. And
I've played poker at Mark's house a couple times.
And also went to Vegas.
I went to Vegas once. I did not play roulette, though. I played, mostly slots. I went with my buddy John Lewis. You might remember him recently on the podcast. And John only wanted to play slots. And I was like, all right, I guess we'll do that. And then the last day that I was there, I was like, this is bullshit.
I mean, yes, it is.
I'm going to play some blackjack.
Gambling.
Which was a lot of fun. I won back all the money that I lost playing slots.
Oh, I love playing blackjack.
Yeah.
Blackjack and Texas Hold'em.
I would love to go back to Vegas and have the full experience.
It's just outside weird. Of slot machines, like, that and blackjack. Just, like, not, I have no desire to go to Vegas.
Oh, you would love it.
Would I?
Yeah.
Why?
It's nonstop fun.
Because of gambling? I don't like gambling.
Also food and drink and entertainment.
Okay, I like those things.
Yes, exactly. You gamble to pass the time in between those other
things. It's just literally like in the middle of a desert, you know? Like, I'm just like,
I'll tell you, if we liked gambling, we would know the answer to this question.
I don't care. I would rather not know the answer to this question.
I'm on my own here, folks.
I mean, fuck.
My teammate has abandoned me.
I will never abandon you.
Okay, well then help me out here. What are we doing? Are we going up to 100? Are there 100 slots on the roulette wheel? Is that too many? Is it not enough?
They spin it and stuff? Is this craps or is this a different game?
No, it's not craps. Craps is dice rolling. They spin the roulette wheel and the ball jumps around and it lands in a spot. And if you guessed where the spot was, you get a return on your bet.
100.
And presumably if you're wrong, you lose.
100 sounds like a good bet because, like, people are like, oh, well, this is a better chance than most games. God, this is 1 out of 100.
I don't even think I've seen one of these in person. I can't even get a sense of the scale.
I feel like I've seen it, like, vaguely in movies.
Mm-hmm. National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation.
No.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, I have. I've seen that.
Wallace Shawn is in that. He's great. Changing 500!
And then, like, one of the sons, like randomly wins a bunch of cars somehow. And that's, like, the end of the movie where he's like, oh, well, I won all these cars. I'm like, what?
What's his name again?
Chevy Chase. No. Chevy Chase is like, how do we get home? He's like, oh, but Dad, I won these cars. And it was, like, so stupid. Anyway, why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about dumbass movies?
No, this is going to bother me now. I should know the name of the son in the National Lampoon's. Rusty.
No, we don't. Rusty. We don't need to know about any National Lampoon movies because they're problematic and juvenile. So I'm going to say 100. Like, if it's a big old giant wheel that they're spinning, you're throwing shit on it. 100 sounds about right. Like, doesn't that make sense?
A lot, though.
Like, doesn't it seem
also, like, not enough?
Actually, exactly. That's what people are like, oh.
It seems too even.
It's a 1 out of 100 chance.
Nothing.
I gotta take my shit. Like, no. It's like a guarantee. Like, so I just gotta do this 100 times and we'll, like,
nothing I'll in win. Vegas is even, though. It's always designed to fuck you.
Of course,
some way.
Of course. But I'm just saying, like, in, like, the mentally.
Right. So it'd be like 105. And you'd be like, why?
Look, and you don't what do you want to say, it. Babe? You're getting real heady about this dumb question.
Let's go with 150.
Okay. Mark Davis, our final answer.
Wait.
What? Poor Mark.
150 or 300?
150.
150.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Wrong. The correct answer is 36.
Told
like I said, it's designed to fuck you. That makes sense.
See, I was right. I'm like, it's a small number. So like to trick you into being like, oh, look, you have a 1 out of 36 chance of like getting a thing.
So is it 36 red and 36 black? Is that how it goes?
No, I think they're every other number is a different color. So it's like 1 is black, okay. 2 is red, 3 is black, 4 is red, I believe.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep that in mind next time I go to Vegas. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us on the No Nonsense Trivia podcast this week.
My pleasure.
And
I like hanging out with you guys.
We love hanging out with you. Don't forget to check out Kyle Ann's website, kyleann.net. You can find her on Spotify, on Bandcamp. And also, if you haven't added the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page, you should do that because that's where Mark is hosting trivia every week. But Kyle Ann also has been live streaming every Saturday night on their page, a 1 hour long concert. So
it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have requests, like,
It's crazy. Like, I see you, like, you play requests of covers you've never played before on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Journey's Don't Stop Believin'.
Yeah, I just figured that, yeah.
That was crazy.
I knew you'd bring that up because, like, somebody mentioned it. I'm like, I think I've heard that song enough to play it. And then, like, Lee pulled up the lyrics for me. And, yeah. I mean, it wasn't my best performance, but, like.
We'll post a link to that. There's an archive of that on Facebook. So we'll post a link to that in the show notes of this episode. Check that out.
Yeah, because like Lee was like, that was like your best performance. That was like a great performance. Not my best performance, but like,
I was nerding out.
And I'm like, I've literally never played that song before.
You also did a Dido song, you did an Elton John song on the fly.
But, yeah.
Come check out Kylie Ann's show on the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page on Saturday. And of course, give her a follow on social media on Spotify.
Thank you.
And Mark, thank you.
Woo.
For taking time out of your weekend and recording
Please, it's my pleasure.
Oh, you'll love to hear it, folks. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends.
So easy.
Friends.
You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including a couple of new people, Lydia, a new team captain, as previously mentioned. Nicole, a new proverbial lightkeeper, thank you very much, and Kevin and Sarah, new Rumpelstiltskins. So thank you to all four of you. I don't know what made all four of you. I think maybe you just heard about my Gollum impersonation, and so you decided to just jump in feet first.
That's beautiful.
For that, it is.
For that, you are blessed. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and of course David Holbrook to the third power. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Sean, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And to our Rumpelstiltskins, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike Casino.
Michael S.
Mike, suss with me just one more time.
And Michael J.
Mike Jewelry has three syllables. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a missed correction, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Nice.
Yes. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, please don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week!